And they picked me up in the morning and they said, "You're going home." And I said, "What do you mean I'm going home? I'm going like upstate New York home, like with my family, my children." They're like, "No, you're going to Italy." I'm like, "Oh, no." I know you can't, this can't be real. I cried the whole way there.
Hello, thank you for joining us, and welcome to A Broad Sense. I am your host, Candace Chapman. In this episode, you're going to hear from Patricia, the owner and founder of Expats in Rome. She has a lot of experience working with expats coming to Italy with different circumstances, and herself with a unique circumstance. And you will also hear how she was able to create something out of nothing. And so here you have her, Patricia.
Yeah, everything I do was because I needed it, or I saw someone needed it, or people are asking more than once for it. It was created to how I would want it. Membership free, information is free. I don't think you need to pay to belong to a community. A community should be free. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
If it's, people want information, like I said, it's free. If they want services, they got to pay. Mm-hmm. But I can tell, I talk to people all the time. I give them advice, the best advice I can. And then I let them know if they should or should not pay, just from experience, because there's a lot of things you can do as an expat as far as relocating to the country. For free, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
God, I was deported in 2000. No internet. I mean, hardly any internet. Mm-hmm. You know, the phone was the crappy phone. I didn't have any papers at all, so I didn't. I wasn't Italian or American. I wasn't anything. I had to prove, you know, first my identity somehow, and then get all my papers, which took about two and a half years to do that. Then, you know, I was homeless for, you know, a year before I got, you know, my, I did get a job before I got a place to live, you know, and then it just, one thing after another. I mean, I was always involved with the expats, you know. What saved me was information, resources. And I found them all on foot, really, because what I did was while meeting the expats that had problems, I would bring them to offices where I was at, see if they can get help. So I started knowing all the offices. The more people I helped, the more the offices and everyone knew me. So that's, I really built up my resources and my existence that I, what I do before it was official. Because people at those offices, they just thought like, "Oh, you're here again. Come on, come in. You know, what are you doing here today?"
Yeah, right.
Friend overstayed her visa. No, you can't overstay your visa. Tell your friend to go home. Okay, you want a dish of pasta? Have a dish of pasta. Now you got to go home. You know, it was more like that. It was like,
yeah,
overstay. No, don't tell everybody. You got to go home. I'm like, oh my God, but she wants to stay another 2 months. Oh, go ahead, stay 2 more months. Mm. Nothing will happen to you. You know, you're American. You know, this was the attitude, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, and stuff. And resources. I mean, without them, you can't really get them. And that's a thing that I stress all over the place. Information. Information and resources. Mm-hmm. Patients, referrals. The right ones, you know? But who would have thought Jell-O and Skittles was barred from Italy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even, you know, when look at the Americans get arrested in Dubai because they don't realize they can't do this and that in Dubai. You know, they're not allowed to get loud in public. You got to look at, I didn't even have a change of underwear. I mean, I had nothing. They didn't. They were deporting me. I was in a detention center for almost 2 years. So I was waiting deportation. I filed an appeal 3 times. I lost. The last appeal I lost, which I would have put another appeal in, because I was waiting for an amendment to the law that was actually causing me to be deported retroactively, you know? So what happened was, when I lost, no one notified me. I don't know. I didn't get the letter in the detention center. And they picked me up in the morning and they said, you're going home. And I said, what do you mean I'm going home? I'm going like upstate New York home, like with my family, my children. They're like, no, you're going to Italy. I'm like, oh, no. I know you can't. This can't be real. I cried the whole way there. I thought they were going to arrest me because, you know, some countries it's illegal to be deported. So they handed me over to the police. The police told me I had to leave the airport. I told them I didn't have no place to sleep. I didn't know where to go. I didn't speak the language. I only spoke a dialect from the south. They said they didn't care. Get out of here. So I left the airport and I just ended up in Rome walking around and kept walking. And really, I guess I ended up getting really sick by the second day. And I ended up asking for a water from this guy and asked from a stand that they sold ice cream and water and, you know, snacks. And it was by right in the center of Rome. And he wanted like 3,000 lira. And I had $150 in my commissary. So I had turned it over to 300,000 lira. But the first night I did spend the night at a hotel. So I only had 30,000 lira left, which is like 15 bucks. But I didn't know any of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I ended up having 30 bucks in my, 15 bucks in my pocket. And this, don't know how to use a phone. And I didn't realize that when you call in Italy, because I had my aunt's number, my mother had a living sister still in the country. Well, the phone rings strange. It would go honk, honk, like a weird buzz. So I always thought it was busy and I would hang up. And I would always had like a fee of a connection fee, like they made the connection. So I was using up all my calling card just by not knowing it was a ring, but and hanging up each time, you know. So I didn't get through. it wasn't good at all. And then I got like vomiting, diarrhea, and freaking hives. I ended up the dude that was at the stand realized something was wrong with me, so I didn't buy the water. It was so expensive.
Right.
And so I asked him to show me how to use a phone. And then when he realized that I used a phone, my credit for the buzzing noise and that it was a ring, he gave me his card to use. And then I just told him I was American and got robbed. So I didn't know what to do. Because, I mean, what other excuse was I going to use? I have no suitcase. I have a white Hanes shirt with holes in it that they gave me at the detention center because they bleach the clothes so it eats the material. And they, you know, if you don't have, you know, you're not going to bring the detention clothes home with you. So they give you like bracelets. And I had on a pair like of white tennis shoes, you know, because they give you their stuff. And so, yeah, it was like I was dressed weird, you know, not many Americans running around. And no, I didn't have much hair because they had shaved my head earlier, so I had like a little bit of it wasn't good. It wasn't really good. It wasn't easy. I can't believe that they do that to people. It was like coming out of a movie. I woke up for weeks thinking, this can't be real. They can't just do this to me, can they? Like, how can you just do that to someone? Like, you know, leave your entire family, no plans, nothing on me, at least a suitcase, some money, preparation. None. They don't, you know, there's worse situations, though. A lot worse, you know. So I got lucky. And I was able to make it. And I created something beautiful for people. And that's, you know, I'm proud of that. And you would never know, you know, you would never right. know because when I tell, you know, people, you know, I have people that follow me on social and they'll arrive in Italy and jump into my arms like they're my best friend, you know, and I'm like, ooh, hi. I'm glad, you know, like you know me, but you know, I still don't know you. You know, and it feels good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good because I made a difference because they come back.
And so I love that. I love that you built your, I mean, especially as a volunteer at first, because you realized there was a need and you're just, you just must be a kind, loving person where you're just like, there's a need that I had, what I wish I had, and I'm going to fill it.
Right. If you need it, most likely if you need it, there's going to be people like you that need it too. You know, and I remember in, 2009 when I started the language courses, okay? Mm-hmm. I wasn't a good learner. I mean, I dropped out of class, Italian lessons, after 2 weeks. I just said, you know, I'm not doing this. I mean, it was just so hard for me to learn and the stress of it and trying to get more work. I said, you know, I'll just learn with TV, a lot of people suggested and stuff. And then after I actually learned the language. I noticed how important it is to learn the language. And I did always stress to people, learn the language. I already knew a base of the language. I just had to fix it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in 2009, with my team back then, I had mentioned that I wanted to add the language courses to the before the event on Tuesday. And at the time when I thought of the idea, now you got to look at it like I had to learn everything, how to build a website, how to do the graphics, how to work a deal with the venues, get sponsors so there's no membership fee. Like, and I never went to, you know, business school or any kind of school to do any of this, right?
Right.
And so I had this idea, and I'm more of a person that I have an idea, I go. If I fail or not, I don't care. You know, I've been like this as a child. My mother didn't like it either. But it's okay. I mean, I obviously like to take the risk. If I lose, I know my when I'm losing. What are we talking about? You know, people gamble. I gamble on my ideas. You know, so far I've been brilliant with them. That's why I'm where I am. You know what I mean? So the woman working with me at the time, she was an Italian teacher. She told me I was stupid. She says, oh, my God, Patrizia. She's like, you can't do this. What kind of idea? This is too American. It will never pass. Mm-hmm. Which was to learn and then do the meet and greet.
Right.
And it was like $5 per student. The first deal was $5 per student. But in my head, I wasn't thinking like we're going to have different levels. We might need different teachers. It was $5 a lesson. It was different levels. I didn't have anything printed, so not prepared. I wasn't in the educational department, obviously, either.
Right. So
I switched it again. It took only a month to get it right. Once a week. And to get the language part in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To get the language part in. I put an ad. $25 a month. Come every Tuesday and learn for an hour. I had 89 students. I had no space. I had no venue big enough to take us. We ended up being really successful, and we did the languages, Spanish, English, and Italian in the end of the day, because then the expats were like, I could teach English. I could teach Spanish. I'm like, okay, let's see if there's interest.
Right.
And there was. And I started having teachers teaching the languages too, and it would be like 10 to 12 teachers and 6 students for each class. About 60 people would show up before an event. And we would beg them to have the students to leave because we didn't have enough people for those that wanted to meet people.
Yeah.
There wasn't going to be enough food. And we would have to stop the doors like that, like stop, no more. We can't take it. My room, because I wasn't good with Excel.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't good with, you know, the computer skills yet, you know. I was using Word to figure it out. I had post-its on my wall of all the classes. And then I was calling everyone I knew to help me. I was like, oh my God, I need another teacher. Do you know a teacher I need to hire? I need help. I bought these little printers worth nothing, all of them shooting out. Me and trying to save money with needles, trying to fill it in, have an ink. On Tuesday, my hands were every color. And my back broken. Finally, you know, I learned that I need a really expensive printer.
Yeah.
Right. And we made our own books. We got the interns. We started getting money in. We were working with Amnesty International. We sent 13 kids from Haiti to school with scholarships. I mean, we started doing every year. I started doing more amazing things of anything. I used to tell people, you got an idea, bring it to me and I'll tell you if I can help you. And people do still today bring me ideas. I know which ones work and don't work, and I will do them. And that's how I, you know, grew from what I need and what people needed. And I had a girl working for me, and somebody asked us if we wanted to do a bike ride. And then after the bike and the sightseeing in a beautiful park, we stop and we have refreshments, and they'll show us how to make the cheese, and we'll be able to take a little thing of cheese home. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh no, Padrisa, who rides a bike? I said, no, you don't ride a bike. I don't ride a bike. There's a lack of bicycles in the world of all the people that want to buy bikes. The quality of life in Italy is much better than the one in America, for sure. But what am I compared to? Upstate New York?
Right.
New York City? Did I really never lived in New York City? The quality of life for sure is better in Italy. But, you know, it's just every city's different, regardless if it's Italy or America. I really do think that. No?
Yeah.
You know, it's in Italy, you just have more relaxed time. You do, because you got to look at it there. We work to live. And here in America, we live to work.
Yeah.
You know, the more working, the better. I mean, I know since I've been here 6 months, that's all I've been doing is work. And I haven't had that liberty of, you know, doing so much track. You know, in Italy, on the weekends, you can go to a small town or to the piazza and take strolls in a gelato, you know, the things you see on Instagram. This does happen here. Well, the thing is if I had to go online and I say, hey, I want to move to Italy, Spain, Peru. Peru has a good expat community, by the way. But like, if they don't have like an expat community like mine or an information center, did you realize all the information on Italy you can find? I'm expats living in Rome, and I do also the one in Italy, and I also do retired expats in Italy. I have four of those groups, right? But I also promote, sponsor, refer, recommend. No one pays me to do it. Mm-hmm. But these groups, which is Sicily, Sardinia, and these just came out, let's say this year or last year. These groups did not exist. There are expats that are worldwide and they have different communities. And those are sites that you might want, if they're not dead though, a lot of them are full of garbage information. And if they give it to you, information needs to be free.
Yes.
Because I don't want to go there and I subscribe. And I pay you the $3.99, and then you got my credit card, and then you tell me I can't discontinue because I got to pay $40 for it. And it happens. I don't want you to say you can't log in, you lost your password, I don't know. No, go there. Everything's visible. I have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
Grab it and go. I don't need you in another country, and you hardly have internet, and we got to log in, and you don't have your password. You know, your life's already difficult. I can't, you know, that's why I have it. But I'm... The About Us, and I think it should be there unless someone stole it. Someone removed it. It's right on the bottom. It says the most important message we can give to those moving to Italy is to have a good network around you. Surround yourself with people who are motivated or already living in Italy who may be able to provide you with the helpful tips and support. You know, and I mean that besides also, I should add that you have to get your information and resources, and you got to know which ones they are that you need. And even if you don't need them, you need to know that they exist. Yeah, information completely free, because you can go, like I said, McDonald's or anywhere. Mm-hmm. Church, free. If you don't want to give any money, you don't have to.
Right?
It's books like this, you know? You know, I always tell them, meet people that are going to be living here. If you're going to go there and meet another person that's been here 3 days, a week, or a month, they're just blind leading the blind. If you want a drinking buddy, go grab a drinking buddy. But if you're here and you want to stay long term, and you want to, it's not a playful vacation for you. You know, you're on savings, and you need to get the most out of it. You need to meet people that are here at least 2 years, and that alone, that isn't enough. Because if you keep on meeting people that are only here for a few months or a few weeks, you're always going to be still looking for people, and you're going to be lonely, and you're going to be depressed, and it's not going to be working for you. And that 1 month, 2 months, even a year, 2 years will go by really fast, you know, and that's for you too, you know, anywhere you go. Because I you know, living in Italy is great. Okay. Mm-hmm. But being the pure expat, like, it's great for me. No, now after 20 years, okay, I speak both languages. I have Italian friends. I have international friends. But I wouldn't be able to live in the country with always just Italian. I do still need that international community where I can go once a week or once or twice a month and get, you know, what I, you know, it's just needed for me. Maybe not for everyone. You know,
yeah.
People that travel, and that's why I encourage my grandchildren, my kids to travel. They're just different. They're unique, kind of different. You're open to different cultures. I mean, you can get into an argument in America with some people about how you see different countries because you experience different cultures and learn different cultures, even though, like, I haven't ever been to Russia. I've heard things about Russia and from people that lived with me that were Russian and worked for me that were Russian. But if I tell someone in America what I know about Russia, I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, it's not, to them, it's like, no, you know, what do you mean? Like, I know I've been enough 20 years of, I've lived with a Russian. One of my good friends is Russian. I know what Russia is like. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't be gay there. They don't have a high percentage of Black people. You might not find a Black person in 6 months running in the area that you're living in at that same time. Mm. But you can't go and experience that culture and that knowledge to your friends and family that haven't left the United States of America.
Yeah.
And only watching news.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah. So you kind of come off a little bit weird in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And not knowledgeable. And where have you been? Who brainwashed you in Europe and you think like that? Right. Who brainwashed me?
Yeah.
In Europe. Yeah. So yeah. So just, yeah. It's not good. Mm-hmm. Or even about, you know, with Africa, you learn so much, you know, you learn more about Africa and Europe than you would in America.
I'm sure.
You know, I mean, didn't you? Just you, how much mm-hmm. you've learned just traveling, talking to people at an airport, you know, and just to, mm-hmm. maybe just meeting people and they share their experience and their stories. And that's what we do with expats on Tuesday. People have traveled, people have transfer information, share their stories. And you learn and grow from that. You're getting real information, though, from different areas. You're not going to get that from National Geographic's, really, or anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Right. And
since they have to watch what they say.
Yes.
Okay. And it's censored. So you got to get experience. Do it now. The worst thing that can happen is you got to go back to where you came from. Two steps back, right? Wow, memories. What memories? The things I've experienced. I think everyone should get deported. And you know what? I thought, because I am, you know, I don't know which God. I know there's a God out there. I read the Bible, and I just kept on thinking, you know, in detention center, I read the whole Bible, and I kept thinking, you know, what is going to happen? What is going to happen? Why me? Why me? There's got to be a plan in this that I don't know about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even until, you know, I was almost suicidal at a certain point, like, how am I going to get out of this? You know what I mean? And I think there was a purpose for all of it. You know what I mean? He needed me there, and I did a lot of amazing things. One of them was a homeless guy was dying of cancer, and I was able to help him, mm-hmm. and he had absolutely no one. And maybe I was there for him, you know? But I get really emotional when I talk about these things. So I'm gonna let it go.
A big thank you to Patricia DiGregorio for sharing her story and her experience with us and everyone who goes to visit Expats in Rome. She hosts meetups once a week and also shares a wealth of information and experience on her website and her blog. Feel free to check those out. She also has a Facebook group and is very welcoming and very helpful with her information. So thank you for all that you do. And also, I'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us today here at Abroad Sense. I am your host, Candace Chapman, and you can look forward to hearing me in the next part of the questions you should ask before you leave. Thank you, and until next time.